Welcome, bet riders around the world. My name is Gary Solomon, and you're watching the Laid Back Bike Report. I am very excited to have you all with us today. We're going to be talking Spezi 2024. We were there, the crew, and some of our panelists were there. And we can't wait to tell you about what we saw, the highlights as we walk through. But first, let's meet the crew with us today. Larry, pop everybody up here. And yeah, there's Larry Seidman out there in Colorado Springs. He'll be handling the directing duties today, popping everybody on and off the screen. He's got a lot of work ahead of him. Larry, thanks for being with us.
Glad to help.
All right. And with me in Europe at Spezi was Trey Burgoyne. There he is now and back in Mississippi. Trey, glad to have you with me.
Good to be here.
Okay, and our pal Hans Agala was there, Combat News. He was representing Azeb at the show. He always has lots of interesting things to say about what he sees and his views of the recumbent world. So, Hans, we're very happy to have you with us.
It's really great to be with you.
Okay, great, pal. And also out in Europe, in Sweden, is Alva Henriksen, a good friend of ours. He actually put Trey and our wives up in Sweden as we checked some things out. He's got a recumbent shop there. I don't know where he got that hat, but we are so glad to have him with us. He's going to lend his voice to some of the things that he saw. Alva, welcome to Laid Back Bike Report, pal. And you are muted. I knew you were going to do that. Actually, he has a voice. Alva, are you there?
Yeah, I'm a newcomer, you know.
There we go. All right. You wouldn't know he's a professional, but you'll find that out eventually here. So, okay, how can you participate in the Laid Back Bike Report? Well, you could head over to the Bicycle Man in New York. But that's not really what I wanted to say. Hi, Peter's with us. At this point, folks, let me just say this is a throwback show. We're going to kind of go back. Almost everything is live today, so it may not be as smooth as usual, but we're determined to have fun and bring this information to you. So, all right. If you want to participate in this show, if you want to make comments, you want to criticize how we're running it, which you have legitimate means to do that, join the live chat. Facebook has a live chat and also on YouTube. We would love to hear what you have to say. Ask questions, make comments, chat among yourselves, and let us know where you are watching from around the world. We love to see that. Now, what if you want to support us? Well, there's a few ways you could do that. You can like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube. You can click that little white eye up there, and it's going to take you to the Laid Back Bike Report website. You can find out a lot more about us there, what's coming up, what we've done in the past, and you can become a Patreon supporter, which we really appreciate. You can do that for as little as a dollar a month, so take a look at that if you would. All right. We do have some industry supporters, which we could not do this show without. Who are they? Let's kick it off with TerraCycle, makers of exquisite recumbent parts and accessories for your bent. Don't just trike, adventure trike. TerraCycle's racks and bags are like having a personal Sherpa, but without the questionable ethics. And Trailside Trikes, a fine recumbent trike shop on the Withlacoochee Trail in Florida. And TerraTrike Greenspeed. Find your freedom this spring with TerraTrike Spring Sale. Experience the thrill of touring the open road with unbeatable deals on the TerraTrike GTS, Spider, and their new and improved electrifying Boost Kit E+. Hurry, these savings won't last long. Sale ends May 31st, so check out TerraTrike.com for details. and Layback Cycles, the top USA dealer for TerraTrike and the premier source for CatTrike, Ice, and Greenspeed. We give you the freedom to ride. And Avenue Trikes, with the gearing you need and the comfort you want, it's time to enjoy riding again. They're in stock, ready to ship, and only $19.95. Dealer inquiries are welcome. And Azub, they are a three-time winner of the Trike of the Year Award and have brought several unique technological solutions to the world of recumbent bikes. For example, the titanium front suspension on the TiFly trikes. Combined with the tuned rear suspension, it provides its owner with absolute comfort throughout the ride. And Recumbent PDX. With a 150 trike inventory, Recumbent PDX is the West Coast's only cat trike megastore. We have over 20 trikes on our showroom floor just waiting for you to test ride through our beautiful Portland neighborhood. Call or email to schedule your test ride today. And Connecticut Yankee Peddler. We feature multiple brands of trikes, including electric assist models. Test rides in Southern Iowa hospitality are always available at our megastore in Cheriton. All right, folks, we are going to take you right on through our experience at Spetsy with the help of the amazing 3D program, the app that they have that shows us everything that was there. So we're going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to have Hans Atrey and Alva share their thoughts on the various things they thought were the best and maybe not so good. So we'll go booth by booth on that. But we also were able to go to Spetsy because of a few very important sponsors. Let me just real quickly tell you who they were. We had Alicht, Bambook, Steintrikes, HP Velotechnic, Vimu, Azub, Katanga, Jersey Bents, Laidback Cycles, and Velo Tilt. So, yeah, so we're going to talk about the trip. First of all, let me just show you. We got a few slides that we put together about the trip, and we're going to kick it off with a look at, let me see. There we go. Yeah, there is my wife, Marilyn, and I leaving from Columbus, and also from Mississippi, Trey and Lisa were leaving, and we headed overseas, and we flew into Zurich. So there's our plane landing in Zurich, a beautiful sight, always fun. Now, when we get to Germany, we always indulge with local food, which was great. The breads are amazing. Look at those colored eggs. I love those things. All right, let's move along. We then, of course, had to get to work. So there's the hall plan. That was posted on the wall. We went to the venue in Lochringen. And Trey and I started planning our session. We got our cameras together and started figuring out how we were going to cover this all. And so after a couple of last-minute plans, we moved along and we started interviewing some folks. And there's Jim on the right. Jim, of course, flew the drones and did our drone videos, which you will see those on the big video that I'm going to have out here in a week or so. We'll talk about that later. And he did get into a bit of trouble. There's a little story there. He flew the drone into a tree. Very exciting. Some kid decided to climb the tree to get the drone down. Apparently, he got stuck, and they had to get the fire department, which was there. We'll have a little video on that, too. Yeah, that's right. It was hilarious. Trey and I got a notice on the radio that something had happened. Tree? Fire department? What happened? Jim, what? But It all worked out. So it was great. There were a number of booth interviews. We met a lot of old friends, some new ones, found out lots of great information for the videos. And the people there were.
We used a new camera.
We did use our new camera too. Yeah, the DJI Pocket 3, which worked out great. As you can see, very small. Everybody commented on that. Where's your big camera? So yeah, it was good to use that
conversation in the video, I think.
It sure was. And yeah, there we're at ICE, met the new CEO there. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And the people are always interesting. There's our buddy Yasha, who was on the show last year to talk about Spetsy. He was working there at Spetsy, so he didn't get a chance to get around very much. So he's not with us today, but Yasha is always fun to work with.
And he set up a dinner for us.
He did, which you're going to see here in a second. That's right.
I think he should be here instead of me because he knows the language in Germany. And
that's true. So, I mean, of course, a lot. It is all in mostly in German, although plenty of people speak English. So you're right, though, Alf. But there's always something unusual there besides the bikes, the trikes, the velomobiles. Sometimes you'll see a guy with a cat on his shoulder. So,
and he was literally on his shoulder all day.
He walked all around. Right. He didn't stage that for us. So.
He even slept. The cat was completely asleep when I took a couple of pictures.
Exactly. And yeah, there were lectures given, which I think were very well received. Trey and I did not have time to attend those. Although we did meet Gunnar Fennau, the guy who wrote the Recumbent book. Got that right here, actually.
Yep.
Can you single shot me for a second? I didn't know at the time. I've forgotten his name. There we go. So many of you know. Sorry, with the green screen, it's kind of messed up. But this was written many years ago, and I had that in my library, and got to meet Gunnar. That was kind of fun. And he did have a lecture there, but I think about adventure biking. So, and I think maybe one more slide. Yeah. So. Right, Trey mentioned we had a nice dinner that Yasha set up in the same place we had dinner last year, and just to kind of talk about what we had done all weekend. It was really, really a fun time. And there's Yasha, there's Heiko from HP, and Hansa right there with us. And
it was good food and friends. It was good night.
It certainly was. So, all right, guys. So, just I wanted to give you a flavor of what we saw there. Now, Larry, if you want to come back to me, I just wanted to tell folks that we're going to get into the 3D walkthrough here in a second. But if you don't want to stick around the whole time and go booth by booth with us, I have put together a very quick 30-second video to kind of give you a taste. Here it is. All right, so there it was. Now let's go through it. I am going to pop on the 3D here. And we want to get Hansa up there. Can we let me get Hansa on? And Peter, we can add Peter too. There we go. We'll make sure everybody is with us as we go through this. That have everybody? Yeah. Okay, guys. So let's go. Let me get to my controller here and see if I can make this work. So, yeah, here is a view, one of the entrances as you come in, and this is what you would see. This was all taken before the show actually opened, but most everything was set up. And we're going to start here with a lift. And this is a company run by a fellow named Leo Vischer, who is really an interesting, inventive guy, who makes composite wheels and just invents all kinds of stuff. The things that he showed us, and you'll see on the video, let me see, I think he might have stashed it over here, but it is an assembly that goes around a wheel that protects the disc brakes from mud and dirt, and he says can possibly prolong the life of disc brakes.
It's right, like Trey, an inner shield, not a fender, but an inner shield around the caliper assembly.
Right, so that was
a good idea.
Yeah. So if it works, I mean, it's clearly going to be a good idea. So that was one thing. And then this was really unusual. We had no idea what this was. Do you see this? This is an aluminum mesh that he works on. And he wants to use this mesh or something like it to form part of the bodies for velomobiles. Not every section, but certain parts that can be, I don't know, easily molded or fixed. So he was showing us about that as well.
Yep. So he takes a single piece of metal, and then it's cut, and it makes all these little hexagons, and you can, so it makes it, what's the right word, malleable, you know, bendable, mm-hmm. whatever. So that little big dome there was a flat sheet of metal, and you can see the ridge around it where it all used to look like that, but he did this process. It's pretty cool. I was impressed. I'm surprised. It's one of those things like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, so if it works out for him, that will be great. So, yeah, so that was a look. Anybody else have anything to say about that? Anybody else talk to Leo? All right. And then we will go on to Golo is there. Now, we talked to them last year a bit about their pedal generating system. They do kind of cargo bike stuff, and I know they're still working on that, and I know they have a lot of collaborations going on with that. But anything else, guys, on Golo? Not too much there, I don't think.
No.
All right. And Tromvelo. So this may happen occasionally where I just lose control here. Wait a minute. Sorry. Let me go back through here.
This was after he visited the beer tent.
Yep. It seems as though. All right. So, yeah, Tromvelo. Flags and accessories and that sort of thing. And yeah, not too much really more to say about that. You guys can just chime in if you do. All right. So, flags. Yep. Yep. And they've been around for a long time. Andreas does a good job there. All right. So, right here, let's see if I can get a little closer around. This is the elevator. The old velomobile, one of the very first velomobiles ever developed, made out of aluminum. And it had been around, for, like I said, for a long time, kind of fallen into disfavor. But our buddy David Massad, a Frenchman who has decided to bring it back, and right now in kit form. Let me see if I can actually
go to the front of it. Yeah.
From the front. Yep, sorry. There we go. We can see a little better. I don't know if we can get close. But, yeah, Trey, tell us a little bit about what your thoughts on the elevators.
Well, I've always liked them. I'm an old World War II, World War I fighter pilot, you know, airplanes history buff. So I've seen several that were made up in the motif of like a fighter plane because of the rivets and all that stuff makes it look real. The other cool thing is it's like the IKEA of velomobiles. You just order a kit, everything's delivered, you assemble, and you save a ton of money. And the other cool thing is if you hit or dent a panel, you just get another panel. You don't have to have someone custom make your carbon fiber or something like that. Disadvantages is for me in the South, that thing's going to be like an oven with that metal skin. It'd have to have something to reflect the sunlight or you'd essentially cook in it, I think.
But it's relatively inexpensive, like, was it 7,000 euros?
Yeah, something
like
that. I mean, delivered, you know, it was.
Yeah, in those boxes. And you really just use a rivet machine and you could
theoretically. Yeah, a rivet gun and you're ready to go.
I think the kit was about 5,000. And the boxes that you see there.
Right, those three boxes and the little flat box in the front.
You can tell because it says Alawiter kit right here. So there you go. It's a cool idea, I think so.
I think they're pretty cool.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, maybe it was previously produced by Alicht. And I think some parts are probably still delivered by Leo. And I have one more comment about the 3D Metaport app because we didn't mention when this was done. I think it's Saturday night. So it's all empty. This is no how, this is not how the Spezi show looked like during the visitor's time.
That's a very good point.
There were way more people around.
We showed that video at the beginning there. You could see some of the people there. That's right. This was when the show was closed. And so they were able to get great shots. But yeah, you certainly wouldn't see any people at that point. Thank you, Hans. That's a good point. All right. Let's go on to right next door to Katanga.
How's the weight of the L lighter compared?
The weight?
Yeah.
The weight is this is the thing why they were kind of cased because they are much heavier than the normal standard composite velomobiles. So I think this was the biggest issue. Also, the look is a bit old stylish, let's say. The cover of the entrance is also not perfectly shaped, but for the price and with the possibility to have an electric assistance inside nowadays, it makes way more sense now than, maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right.
One thing with it
is
that I think that Velomobile with an e-assist works very well. But without e-assist, I think it's a little bit heavy.
Their website says it's 35 kilograms.
Yep.
Is not light, but yeah, so seems like it's a solution. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll move on to Katanga here, and we talked to Stefan when we did our interview. Let's see if this is a little better. So the three things to talk about with Katanga is what they used to call the VM45, and now they're calling the Velion, the light electric vehicle. And here you see it. They've really started to refine it, painted it. Or is it a paint or a wrap? Maybe it's not painted. I'm not sure.
I think it's paint.
Yeah, it is paint. Okay.
Stickers, reflectives.
Okay, right.
Oh, nice.
So the Velion, which is getting closer to production now. The WOW, Velomobile, which they have had for quite a long time. And of course, Alva, I know, knows a lot about that. And then the Pony as well, the quad that they have, a very versatile quad that can be a cargo bike, a kid hauler, all kinds of things. So I'm going to let you guys talk a little bit more about these, more than I do. So, Alva, why don't you go ahead first and talk about what you saw at Katanga that interested you?
Yeah, well, as you probably know, I'm a dealer for Katanga. And about the WOW, it's one of the few Velomobiles that has a rare, what would you call it, a gaff even for the rare? I mean, it is like a norm, an average bicycle in the rare. So it's not, the wheel is not just hooked up on one side. That is what differs the WOW from other Velomobiles. And then if we go to the Velio, it's a very big project, a lot of work that they are putting into it. And what they want to do with that one is to convert it into a light electric vehicle so that it will be allowed to have e-assist up to 45 kilometers per hour. Now everything has been, there is always more work than what one would think about it when one starts this kind of project. And they have had some problems with getting the right motor. That's one part of it. And then also the homologation to get the permits for it to go on 45 kilometers per hour. So that's what they're working with. A very, very good, very much work to get something like that approved, much more work than what one would think. And then about the Pony 4, it's one of my favorite cargo bikes. And the reason for that is just because it works very well to replacing a car. I'm using it almost every day. My girlfriend is also using it almost every day. And the rear platform can be adjusted. And I'm also using it with a trailer, as you know, Gary, about the trailer there. I think you tested it.
I sure did.
And then the interesting thing about the Pony 4 is that it has some similarities with what we will go and see to the next. On the left side here, we have the Quad Velo, and it has some similarities, like the suspension and some parts. And as I understand it, now Katanga is also working as one where they are putting together the Quad Velo, which is on the left side. They are also using the Pony 4 for testing future kind of what do you say when you have the
platform?
A platform where they are testing the future way of using motors and the bicycles without chain.
Right, the pedal generator system.
Yeah, the generator.
Exactly. So the Pony 4 is used for testing and for many, many different things. So it's not just what you see in the picture. It's much more than that.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah. I love the Pony 4s. They're great.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the Velion.
Let's go back to
which is, you know, a little bit different approach to the concept of a new future, faster, more practical velomobile. Because we will talk about the Quad Velo maybe. There are some other like the Pedileo and the Pod Bike and so on and so forth, which are from the very beginning like usually taller, usually the shape is not so aerodynamic. They usually do not look like as the standard velomobiles compared to the Velion, which is at the first sight almost as a standard velomobile. The thing is, when you see it on the picture, you can hardly notice it, but when you stand next to it, it's much, much bigger than you would expect. It's a really a huge thing, which is not necessarily bad, because you really need to get in and out easily and have space for things inside, for luggage and groceries and so on. So it is a big project. Fingers crossed they can make it really into production and start producing it the way they want, with the S-pedalic kind of stuff, or it's going to be a small car at the end. So, yeah. And the Pony 4, I think we have talked about it several times already. Just that it is still... I think the Pony 4, as same as the Quad Velo, are developed and produced together with the Bus Velomo, German manufacturer of or more or less inventor of some of the recumbent concepts, so the suspension definitely comes from them.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Practical bikes are, it's great to see that format expanding, and there's so many choices. They're going to be great urban vehicles.
Yeah, Peter, that's something we're really noticing year by year. I know Hans would agree. I mean, we're just seeing a lot of these light electric vehicles. We've talked about the Quad Velo. We kind of mentioned it here. Everyone has. And just a fantastic looking little light electric vehicle. We got to talk to Luke, the CEO, Trey, and my wife got a chance to ride one. We got some video of that at the show. Luke had some interesting things to say, including the fact that Katanga is is assembling some of the Quad Velo in their shop in the Czech Republic. We also, when Trey and I were in Slovakia last year, we went to that composite a factory where they're putting together various products, including small plane cabins and things, but they assemble, they also create the composites for the what was the VM 45 at the time, and they were also working on the Quad Velo panels when we were there as well. So there's a nice connection there between a number of these platforms, and I guess the one thing to say is that they're relatively small businesses. I don't even know that they are looking to become massive businesses. Luke told us it was a side business, actually. They have a big business in producing circuit boards, right, Trey? Isn't that what he said, I think?
Yes.
And so this is kind of a side business for people who just love bikes of all kinds and want to see what they can and kind of push the envelope. So I guess that's what I would say about it. Go ahead, guys. What else specifically about the Quad Velo would you want to say?
Well, Luke got into bicycles more when he ordered 10 Azup trikes for his employees because they had, was it 10? I guess it was 10. They had like bike rides for their employees in the circuit board company, which is really a big one. But there were some, you know, tiny bit bigger people and employees that didn't want to ride on bikes. So he bought trikes for them. And then later he got so much hooked into recumbents that he started the Euro, what is the, well, whatever, a company producing velomobiles. He bought the Challenger from the license to build the Challenger from UK, and then slowly moved into the Quad Velo stuff.
I think they have a program where they are letting people rent the Quad Velo instead of having to buy it. So they can rent it for a certain amount of period. And after that period, they can decide to leave it back or buy it.
So, yeah, I've seen on the forums and stuff exactly that. It's almost like in the U.S. it's a lease.
Yeah,
like people go lease cars, and if you at the end of the term, if you still want the car, you can buy it, and et cetera, et cetera. I think what they're doing is fantastic because there's not when you look at a normal person looks at a velomobile and they're like, yeah, that's not for me. That's a little strange. But you look at this and it's a miniature car. So there's
I was just going to ask you, Trey. Why don't you quickly talk about your experience actually riding it? Because you rode it all around the track. What did you think?
Yeah, well, it's cool. There's only one negative, and it's really not that big a deal. It is louder inside, obviously. The road noise, the mechanical, yeah. The electric motor. It's a little loud inside, but that's certainly not any reason not to do it. But it's you get the feeling you're in a car. The only difference is just you're Fred Flintstone. You're pedaling it instead of with a physical motor where you don't have to do anything. The e-assist makes it practical. I wouldn't want it without the e-assist, obviously, but it was easy to turn, everything about it was pretty easy. It's a little involved to get into the back seat, but I think that was because we really didn't know what we were doing. They were helping us, and so they showed us and all that good stuff. Once you get that process down, it'd be pretty good. I could see this even expanding if they did like a bigger cargo version, like expand the backside to carry more. You can carry quite a bit in there. Obviously, Marilyn and I rode in there. So, I mean.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that.
Careful.
Okay. Yeah. It'll take a load. All right. So.
You said that, not me.
What else? Anything else on the Quad Velo before we move on?
Yeah, I would like to see the front on a Pony 4 and a cargo platform on the back.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like a mixture in between, half Quad Velo, half Pony 4.
Oh, like a pickup truck.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Be nice.
Yeah.
All right. Good idea. Well, hopefully they'll see that. All right, let's move along. So there is Hookah. Don't know much about them. Anybody have anything to say about Hookah?
I don't really know much about them.
I don't
either. I haven't seen a Hookah since I was in college, so I shouldn't, you know, speak
up.
Thank you, Peter. All right, let's move along then.
I bet it'll really smoke all the other bikes, though. Oh, never mind.
Oh, boy.
So let's talk about Verabike before we get ourselves in more trouble here. And Martin was there. We had a chance to talk to Martin again. He had recently been on the show talking about this amazing. They make bikes as well, but we're more concerned about the Veratrike, which has the ability to use hand power and leg power, and even being able to split the hand power. And his latest even allows you to split the leg power by. I don't know exactly how that works, that helps, but you could move your legs in any particular way that you like. Any way you want. So anyways, it's a very interesting concept and I think pretty well received. Anybody else have anything on Verabike?
Really cool engineering.
All right. So next was Steintrike down over here. Watch out for there the pole. All right, here we go. And here we are. Let me back up a little. So we talked to Robert and Victor at Steintrike, and they're very well known for their Wild One steel frame trike with tremendous amount of suspension, 4-inch play on the suspension, that kind of thing. And I guess they had been working on something that they actually brought out called the Rebel, which is a beefed up version, basically, as I understand it, for those stronger riders or for the e-assist, extra torque from the e-assist and that sort of thing. So the Rebel was on display here and we got to see that, and we got an interview with him on that. So that was kind of a Steintrike thing. Who else wants to talk about what they saw at Steintrike? Go ahead, Isaac.
Okay, I wanted to talk about the thing that last year they had few trikes on the floor only and maybe a little banner. This year you can see a serious booth. Really, they really put a lot of effort into building it, into bringing it to Lauchringen. There, the black panel in the background is a huge TV screen, which I have never seen on a booth of a recumbent manufacturer before, which is a big thing, which was a big thing. So in my eyes, there were several companies that put really a lot of kind of commitment into the show. Kind of also proved that they liked the show last year so much that they brought more stuff and bigger booth and nicer booth. So this is kind of a promise for me for the future of the show, because last year everybody was like, maybe, we will need to see how it goes and so on and so forth. Now, after 2023, there were definitely companies like ICE, for example, that really came with a bigger booth and bigger commitment. And Steintrike was one of them.
I completely agree. Just have a look at the lamps they have with them. And one thing about Katanga and Quadvelo, they were dressed like a pit stop, on the Formula One competitions. So they are putting more effort in the booths, and that's very, very nice.
Yep, couldn't agree more. And on that big screen, what they were showing, by the way, was a video that Victor had produced of an off-road race, capture the flag, all kinds of interesting things going on in this off-road course that was what about a couple kilometers, a kilometer, Trey?
Yeah,
a
couple of kilometers.
And so we excerpted some of that in the video that I posted about Steintrike from our interview. But if you go to their YouTube channel, you can see the whole video. It's actually really, really good. So, yeah, that was Steintrike. I guess if nothing else, we will move on then to Bombuk, which was over here.
There they are.
Are you skipping 3x3?
I don't know anything about 3x3. Tell us. Where is that?
3x3, you're just on your right side there, and the white pillars in the middle to the left now.
This?
Straight, yeah, those two pillars there. Well, there is nothing on them there at this
moment. Wait, let me go right here.
Yeah, and now look to your left.
3x3, what is it? I don't know anything about this. Tell me.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, there we go.
3x3 9. I have the leaflet here. It's it says next level 9 speed gear hub.
Oh,
and it's a new, completely new gear. It's they will compete with Roloff, and it has a range of 554%.
Yeah, I can see that.
And gear increases about 24%, and so forth, so forth. What one thing is that it has only 9 speeds, 9 gear in this 554%. It will be a bit cheaper than Roloff. They wanted me to test it, but I said I'm not really selling that very much. So I hope that Alsub or some other companies will test it, and just to compare and see if this could be something for example me or another riders, Velonauts or recumbent. I now during the last weeks when I've been out cycling, I used, instead of 14 gears on my Roloff, I've been using 9 gears or something similar, just to see how it would work. And it seems like 9 gears would be fine to me. I don't know about others, but I'm very curious to see how this company will...
That's really interesting, Alva. When I was using your Roloffs on the Pony 4s, it seemed like whenever I was shifting, I was shifting 2 gears at a time. I almost never did one. So I would imagine that would be enough. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I didn't even see anything there. I just went right on by. It's pretty much there. So good. And did they say anything to you about when they anticipate this would be on the market?
Honza, you might know, because I think they sent 1 gear to you.
Well, it is already on the market for at least a year, maybe even longer, because I have seen it on Eurobike last year. I'm almost sure it was up before. Openly spoken, you know, after Kinderney went out of business and a few other attempts of other companies, I usually do not pay closer look at all the news in the gearing, in the world of gearing. But this seems to be really promising. It's again German manufacturer, German production. It has larger gear range than the Roloff. It is supposed to be used with electric bikes with mid-drive motors. So this is you don't need and you don't want to change the gears so often. So wider gear range, less gears, and lower price. It should not be just, or it is not just a little bit cheaper. It is significantly cheaper than the Roloff.
And it says no maintenance. No maintenance,
There is no oil change, and also they have an electronic shifting. So we will see. I think it is quite popular among cargo bike manufacturers. So I would give it at least a year or two. And I think sooner or later, some of the recumbent companies will bring it up into their specification. It's really, if they don't have any issue like the Kinderney had, I think they will stay around. And I believe they will stay around longer than Kinderney. Kinderney was a different target. This is really perfectly targeted for the cargo bikes, for the electric bikes, heavy duty use, and so on and so forth. So I believe in this product.
Good, very interesting.
Input the dealer information in the U.S. and I think that the gear range is kind of wide unless you have electric assist and the individual steps. But with electric assist, I think that's not a problem, like Hansa said. In the U.S., our impression was that the price was, 15 or 20% less than a roll-off. And my personal impression was that roll-offs got such a reputation for durability that it's going to be a hard row to hoe to catch up with them. But maybe in Europe, it's significantly less expensive. It'll get spec'd on European bikes, and that'll bring it to the American market in a big way. And that could be a good entrance, foot into the door kind of thing.
Yeah, it has an input torque up to 250 Newton meters. So that's quite a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's good.
Go on.
No, go ahead. Finish it up, Alva. You brought it to us, and I appreciate you doing that. Go ahead.
Yeah, about testing this only 9 gears. I've been riding steep hills here with my Origami that has no e-assist, and it did work even in the very steep hills. So,
well. Good. All right, then on to Bomb Book. Thank you for that. So this is a recumbent trike, tandem trike manufacturer. It's been around for a while. And really a very robust, mostly electrified, but doesn't have to be tandem. And the one thing they talked about, and I don't know if I see it here, they have manufactured a large basket that fits on the rear seat that kind of converts it into a nice cargo unit that they showed us about. So that's basically what I noticed. Anybody else had anything about Bomb Book?
So they're pretty cool. The basket was kind of cool, and it's so simple. You know, everybody tries to do a custom mount and all these other things. They just made it so it fitted over the existing seat.
Right. Okay, and Sun, we talked to them last year. We really didn't have a chance to talk to them this year, but lots of good lighting and generator systems there. So anybody have anything on Sun?
Well,
I think we just lost Hansa.
Yep.
Our experience with
Sun. Okay, here he is. Hang on. There we go. Hansa, go ahead, Hansa. We lost you for a second.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to say that they have, I don't know whether it's already available, but they have a new light with USB charging, which people were kind of missing. So, yeah, an interesting product.
Good. All right. I don't know anything about Max and Malleon. Before we go over there at all, does anybody have anything to say about Max and Malleon? All right. Let's stop here at Velomobile NL then. We were there and talked to Teo. Very excited about the Snook L, the larger version of the Snook, which they have, Trey, what did he say, like 40 orders for or something? He's off to a very good start.
A lot of orders for.
And they're very excited about the speed and the look of the Snook. So that's good. And the Quattrovelo, which is a standard. The other piece of news that I heard, which you guys probably already knew about, but I was not really aware, they actually have officially now stopped making the Quest, was, one of the first more popular velomobiles that were around. So I think with the Snook L, they're kind of just transitioning to that in that category. But Yeah, so it was interesting stuff to hear about the Snook L from them. Who else? Anybody else want to talk about the Velomobile NL?
Even it being larger is still really light.
Yeah.
And still quite a small.
And so, yeah, like, it's still even the larger, not large.
It's Euro large, not American large.
Yeah. I will have an interview with Allard Jacobs about casing the Quest, about the history of the Velomobile, because it is kind of an iconic product that have been around for years. So I hope this will be published either next week or the week after, probably.
Okay, good. We'll look forward to that. Now, Joseph Johnning, of course, from our pal from Germany, is asking about any news on the Quest successor. Now, I kind of got the impression that the Snook L was the Quest successor. Anybody have any
news? No, there is Quest 3.0, I guess they call it. It is still in development, and they are now focusing on the Snook L, and maybe if they feel they need it, they will bring it up later. But there is still no time frame for that, I guess.
Right. Yeah, because Joseph was there, and we saw that the prototype that they had in the shop there, the Quest 3.0. But yeah, I don't think much of anything's happening there. So, all right, shall we move on? So, Ginkgo. Didn't you say you wanted to say something about Ginkgo?
Yeah.
Which I got to find here. Am I further up here a little bit?
On your left. You passed it just by the side of
there we go. Right here.
Velomobile. Yes.
Ginkgo.
And let me see. Can you go closer to this?
Let me see if I can step here.
No, to your right, to your right.
That help you?
To your right, more to your right. Oh, no. They don't have it on exhibit because this is before they
were there. They probably don't have it. Tell us what you saw, though. That's fine.
I saw Ginkgo having some collaboration with another company, which is on the other side, on the other side of the test run here, on the right side. We will see them later on. A company that's called Fahrwerker. Some guys that have been working with Magura, the hydraulic brakes. They have started their own company and make their own design of hydraulic disc brakes. And Ginkgo has then taken the Sturmey Archer drum brake and adjusted it so that one can then use the hydraulic brakes instead of using caliper on the on a disc. You can use a piston on the Sturmey Archer drum brake. So you can have a Sturmey Archer hydraulic drum brake, which Ginkgo is providing. Okay. That's, I think, is quite interesting. Maybe nice. It's on that wheel there, on the left side there. I'm not sure. But anyway.
I don't think it's up there.
No. But did you understand how I meant?
Yes, it's a hydraulic piston-driven actuator for the
Sturmey Archer.
Yeah, the Sturmey Archer
hydraulic
brakes, shoe brakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Drum brake.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
How about Zox bikes? We didn't have a chance to talk to them this year. Anybody have anything with Zox? All right, and then we saw Schwabe, and we did not talk to them this year. Anything new at Schwabe? Good. Now, the next is the 6E system.
You're muted, Gary.
I just see Schwab. Schwabi's big push right now is they want to recycle old tires and make them into new tires.
Yeah,
I assume they were going to be pushing that there.
They did last year, actually. They talked about that whole recycling thing. That is true.
Still like a really small percentage.
You have the white bin there is for recycling. If you go to your left, there.
Yeah, right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. Yeah, I saw Trey was putting some of his pop cans in there, so I think he might have got the wrong idea. All right, so here's 60, and so back to the pedal generation systems, which seem to continue to be advancing. And so you can see this is Golo here that they were working with, and we checked that out a little bit last year. So I guess that continues to be a thing. And we do see more and more of the pedal generating systems being advanced. So we will look at that. Anything else about 6E or the pedal generating?
No, cool platform.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying one.
Now here's Pedilio. Hansen mentioned them earlier. They've been around for quite a while as quad that's we talked to them maybe in 2018 or something. I don't know if there's anything new though. Hansa, you know anything new going on with them? So.
Well, they are already producing it. You can order it. The biggest thing with all the projects of the practical velomobiles or the new type of velomobiles or whatever, quads often, is that the availability is still pretty limited. They are not able to produce enough of them, or the price is too high. Quad Velo, they have issues with the time, how much time it takes to build one and how many they can produce. So there is a demand, but it's still kind of lacking the ability to supply the customers, realistically,
Hans, because we've talked so much about this, and maybe we should just take a minute here to maybe discuss this a little further. If you want to create a light electric vehicle that is a car replacement, there are a lot of cars out there that, even if you say you would hope to replace 5% of people's car rides, that is a lot of bikes that you would have to produce. I don't think there is a manufacturer even talking about producing the kinds of numbers that would do that to make any sort of dent in getting a vehicle to replace cars. I mentioned it earlier, all these guys are small businesses and they want to be profitable and at some level, but nobody's talking about making tens of thousands, of these.
We can definitely look at the pod bike. They have officially something like 3,500 pre-orders, and it has been how much, 2 or 3 years already. And how many did they build? Like 20 or 50 or 100 or so in the last half a year or year. So it is, I'm sorry to Podbike if my numbers are not correct, but to give you some idea, this is where they are roughly right now. So it is not really easy to change it from the from the prototype stage to production and then scale the production, especially when you expect to have the price reasonably low, which I think they do, at least with the pod bike, the price is very low compared to what it should be under normal circumstances. But they try to push it, and they think that in the long term they can have the price like this. So it's definitely a challenge. Yeah. But
it's a good, very good point, Hansa. They were actually at least shooting for some realistically large numbers at one point. But everybody has trouble taking it from prototype to serious production. And they, of course, ran right into the to the pandemic. And I mean, there's always excuses, but yeah, they were legitimately trying to get to larger numbers, and they still are. I think they're pretty well backed, so maybe there is some chance. But yeah, that's a really good point.
But then I think the common mentality, if you say you have a bicycle with e-assist, which is costing this month a certain amount of money, people will say, hey, but I can buy an electric car for the same money and I don't have to pedal. So it's very, very difficult to change the mentality of every people to understand that an e-assist bicycle has so many possibilities, but they are looking into going with the car without exercising. So it's not just the manufacturing, it's also how much people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah, it's a huge marketing and educational burden to overcome there. Go ahead.
We live in a college town, and there are a lot of apparently students whose parents have bought them bikes. So we see them riding around. They almost never come in the shop. But we see them riding around, and it's very rare that they pedal at all. They just sit there and hold the button down.
Yep.
So that kind of mentality, you're going to want to buy a small Chinese electric car instead of a velomobile or a, you know, quad bike or pod bike or something, which is sad.
I agree with all that, but I don't think the target is for people who own cars trying to get them to convert to buying a bicycle. The target's going to be people who already don't have a car and they ride a bicycle and they want something more, but they want to commit. They don't want to commit to a car.
Yep. So, or people that ride a bike and would like to be able to get away from their car. I mean, that would be me. It would be neat to have one of these, and I'm kind of looking at the choices and what would I do. But, you know, our nearest grocery store is 8 miles away.
Yeah, and that's the target. I think the target audience is going to be Europe because the distances most people travel in the U.S. is too great, and the infrastructure is not there. So, like I was saying, I think the target is people on bikes who want more capacity and a little weather protection.
Well, we have quite a bit, you know, and this is worldwide thing, the cargo bikes stuff. You know, you have so many cargo bikes now around, and those are quite often customers that or people that really switched from, say, second car in the family into cargo bike. You know, so they have one car and a cargo bike. And this is these vehicles like the pod bike or pedally or quad velo are something in between the cargo bike and the car. So we at least have, you know, 3,500 pre-orders for free car for the pod bike. Yeah. When they are able to fulfill, you know, that demand, there will be a leap. You know, we of course do not expect to have 5% of car users, you know, drivers having a bike in the near future. That would be nice, but that's not going to happen. But if we talk about 0.5, that would be nice already.
Right. And then if you get them out there and their neighbors have some, then maybe you can begin to change hearts and minds, right? So, okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Good discussion. So, Tretzug, I don't know much about that. I think these are hand cycles mostly.
Tretzug, is that the new quad? Well, I think
they are quads. Yep.
It is a quad, like an off-road style. It was you can kind of nicely not fold it but shorten it. It was full suspension 4x4, an interesting project. I think he shown it last year already, but this year he was kind of closer to production, still not yet there, but rather close. So we'll see.
All right, and Ventisit, the seat, padded, webbed systems that have been around for a very long time and are very, very popular. They were there. I don't know that there was anything much new to say about that. And then, of course, on to Velomobile World. Had a massive booth, as you can see. Jan was there. Talked to him about a few things, including the big news, of course, is their Bulk 4 More, their lower-priced Velomobile that they just brought out. Delivered some to the U.S. as well. They have a 4 More Urban, which I guess is a carbon fiber version, a little bit dressed-up version of it. And also, as you can see here, Jan showed us this prototype of a trailer that they have with a solar panel on top, a lot of room in there. And so they were still working on this, but something that I think they wanted to bring out here eventually as well. So those were the things we saw at Velomobile World. A lot. It was very popular. It was crowded with people. So who else? Sambus, want to talk about the Bulk or Velomobile World?
Well, the 4 More is definitely an interesting project. The first, I think, 30 of them should be sold for, I'm not sure, $6.99 or, no, €6,000, I guess. And then the question, they want to have it as a cheaper version of the modern or the modern style Velomobile composites, but we will need to wait for the final price, let's say, how much cheaper it's gonna really be. The urban version was also interesting because it's already a glass, a carbon fiber lighter version, but kind of sturdier, more for, let's say, long distance touring maybe and so on and so forth. Also, it is called urban, so they expect to have it used as a commuter. It has, open wheels, so it's easier to maintain it and so on and so forth. So nice efforts, definitely. The trailer is also an interesting project. We will see whether they will really make it available. Hopefully. So yeah, a lot of new stuff in this booth.
Sure.
About the trailer, it's very, very light, so it's very promising, and I'm impressed by the design, where they have used very few parts, which make it really, really light, and the way they hook it up to the Velomobile. But when I was standing there, I wanted to see a design where the Velomobile and the trailer are built for each other, which means because now you have a Velomobile which is getting very narrow at the end, and suddenly you have a wall which is which the wind is stopping in the trailer. So of course then you can make a drop shaped trailer too, but why not make the back of a Velomobile the same width as a trailer and chop it shorter, and then make the trailer as the continuation of the Velomobile so that it's one package. That I would like to see.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, but
then explain myself.
Yeah, yeah, but you have then, when you use it without a trailer, then it would be hardly any aero.
Now, yeah, but the point is not this Velomobile should not be built to be used without a trailer. It should be a Velomobile like the Quattro Velo, for example, is built wider in the back because you want to have luggage in it. So my point is to have a Velomobile which has a Velomobile and a trailer in package, and it's built for that. That's
not the same model, but a separate model.
So why would you? So why don't you use the Quattro Velo? Or
now, because you would have much more space here. When I cannot go shopping once a week with my cat Quattro Velo, having a big trailer like this one, then I could go shopping to the store, and it would be something in between Pony 4 and a Quattrovelo, something in between, you know?
Yep.
Or a longer version of the Quattrovelo.
I think so. That's a better idea than a trailer.
To make it one vehicle as opposed to having a trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, but then
the advantage of the trailer is that you can remove it and have your, you know, your naked bike.
Yes, but when you have a
then the square trailer on the back of an Aero vehicle. That's a good point too.
All right, guys, I'm going to break in here. It's a good discussion, but probably a little bit getting off topic here. Let's move along if we can here. So there's not much to see at Wolf and Wolf. These boys were busy running the show. There's one of their bikes here. So I really didn't even talk to them about any of their bikes.
They were very busy making them.
What'd you say, Hansa?
That they are still making them.
They are still making them is the news. That's right. They're sturdy, they're a short wheelbase, a very nice bikes. So, all right. So we have been talking about Podbike. Now, Podbike actually had their booth outside, but I'm guessing for reasons of storage during this Saturday evening when they were taking these pictures, they brought them in. So this is probably a good, and they didn't go outside with this 3D thing. So it's probably a good point to talk about the pod bikes since they're right here. So Trey and I got a chance to talk to Per, one of the founders, about the pod bike and situation. We've already discussed a little bit about it. He talked about overcoming some of the hardships that Hansa and I were talking about earlier and tweaking the design. They are not at a point where they're making major design changes at this point. It's set. They're making some tweaks, but basically the design is set. And one of the other hurdles that they're dealing with is the limitation of their motors being capped at 250 watts.
Yeah, small.
And with that, the folks trying to ride pod bikes, especially up hills, are not getting any kind of speed out of them, as you can imagine, because there's not enough power there. And so they are busy with lobbying efforts around the world, here in the States as well, not so much in the States. Their bigger problem is that some of four-wheeled recumbent bikes, four wheels are really not allowed in a lot of streets in a number of states, and it's a state-by thing. I shouldn't say the 250 watts because that's not an issue here in the States. In Europe, it's the 250 watt issue.
In the States, it's, is it a bike or is it a car?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think four wheels makes it a small car.
Yeah.
Although there are towns around here where you're allowed to drive an ATV on the street, and there are towns in Florida where you're allowed to drive a golf cart.
Yeah, but all the time. They don't allow cars where you drive golf carts in a lot of those towns. But
oh, don't they? Okay.
No.
Around here, the ATVs are on the street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Back when we were doing ATVs, we traveled the various trails and stuff. That's because the town makes its money off of the trail that's associated.
Right, that's exactly right.
So they want to keep them around. But in this case, we're so far behind. We don't have the infrastructure for this to travel on.
Yep.
So, Gary, what is the legal effort they have? Yeah.
So what? Per was talking about the 250, mostly about the 250 watt limitations in various European communities. And they, what did he say, Trey? So Switzerland, they had 500 watts at one point and then it went back. And there was and then in Norway, I think they said they do have 500 watts. So it seemed to me, I think what he was driving at is they're trying to get a 500 watt cap instead of the 250, which would serve them much better in terms of getting a motor in there that would do.
The 250 was too small to handle the weight of the trike, the person, and any cargo going up any kind of hill.
And so then in the U.S., very specifically, the only thing I remember him talking about was New York, where they were talking to some folks about the issues with four-wheeler limitations. That's the specifics of what he talked about.
Yep. Well, they can still target they can go for the S-pedelec version, which is 45 kilometers per hour, like the like the valley on from Katanga. So the question is why they don't try to go that way. But I think the issue is that you cannot use that car, that bike, which is the S-Pedelec Tilt 45 on the... on the
bike path.
And the path.
Bike path.
Right. Most, so they would have to make a decision.
Most countries. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it looks to me like on a sunny day, you're going to get awful hot in there.
Yes. Now, this has been so many times discussed. This is their choice. You know, I wouldn't comment about the design in general, because but the concept and the way how they try to treat it, you know, to have how many pre-orders they have, how much they try to make it like mass produced, or at least, you know, in larger serial production, is really something that I admire, and I want to, you know, I want them to succeed.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, they have their own limitations in the way that it is the serial hybrid. So you don't, they are really dependable on those 250 watts of the motor. The rider cannot help them by pedaling, because there is no chain in the vehicle. So you cannot really help it run.
I thought there were two motors, one in each rear wheel. So the rider could do 250 and the battery could do 250.
Maybe it's like this.
I watched again, there it is like a year ago or something.
It is a hub motor, so not the mid drive motor that would help to move the weight and so on. So
I like the idea of no chain, so that you have pedals and you have wires and you have motors and a battery.
Again, it's that pedal generator system that they
but
pedal generator.
It has some limitations then. Yeah.
Right. And Joseph Janney actually did that report for us last year, where he went there at one of their events, the German event they had, and tried it out there, and he did, you know, he reported specifically about some of the issues with that. But
one other thing of most of these projects is what Trey already told us, that it is noisy inside.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you want to, you know, migrate those 0.5 car drivers into riding these things, they do not want to ride in such a noisy stuff, you know.
Right.
It's something right. that has to be addressed.
It's not the same as a car experience, but you pedal at all. It's very different, isn't it? It's very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just checked. You're correct. It's two motors. One motor for the e-assist and one motor for the hybrid propulsion. And it's chainless.
So you can get 500 watts of power, but that's 250 from the battery and 250 from the rider.
Right. And it uses an 877 watt hour battery, and you can add two batteries at one time.
Okay. Thanks, Trey.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move along here. Go ahead. Do you want to finish up?
No, just one. The design is prepared for a trailer to make it pointy trailer at the back.
Look at that, just what you were talking about. That is exactly what you were talking about. Yeah,
exactly.
Good point. All right, you've made a good point there. All right, let's move over to Haza here. And I didn't talk to them, so I'm not sure, but I'm not sure there was much new. Anybody have anything to say new about Haza?
Well, right. they have a new, how they call it, but it's not a recumbent, but a cargo bike, Rabbit.
Oh, the Rabbit.
So it is kind of changed or adjusted Pino, which is more of a cargo bike, or only cargo bike. Not that one, on the right side, I guess. In the back there is the violet one. Or purple or whatever.
Got it.
That one is their big news. But I want to say it is another company that I would mention really put a lot of commitment into the show, which I really liked to see. When we started to build our booth on Friday 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., they already had the booth ready. So they came not for Friday and build it Friday, but they came Wednesday, build it Thursday. On Friday, they just, solved the little issues, and then they were getting ready for the show, which is great to see that such a major brand sees such an importance of the show. That's it.
But to be fair to you, Hansa, they didn't have to travel quite as far as you guys did.
Yeah.
All right.
That's an interesting drivetrain on that bike.
Well, and real quick on that bike, they have three different versions. They have a version for gravel, which is what you're showing right there.
Oh, it's a pedal I'm seeing. Sorry.
Yeah, and they have the Gravity City E, and I think there's a Pino version that you can do either a bike seat or the cargo.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, this is also because there are some supports from local communities or city councils to get a cargo bike. So when they have a cargo bike version, you can buy the Pino as a cargo bike with the support from the city council and then use it as a tandem later, which I think is interesting for quite some people.
All right. Next, speaking of interesting, Vimu. So, we had a chance to talk to the fellas there. It's a very interesting concept. It seems very much in the prototype stage. It is in the prototype stage, but it seems very early. So, as you can see, this... It was not very refined, but lots of really interesting ideas here. It's a tilting trike that they want to use as a kind of cargo commuter kind of thing.
Like a data commuter. So that front...
Yeah, let me see if I could... Whoa, sorry. I went too far here as usual. Here we go. I guess I can't really... There's a better angle.
So that front section, the very boxy front section, comes off, and they're intending that for you to go into the store. So you ride up to the store, you get off, you take that front section off. It has a handle and wheel, so you roll it into the store, and that becomes your grocery cart. And then the front tilts at that axis right there, right the black right there. Yep. And that front end tilts, like a tilting trike, so to speak. Yep. But it has cargo on the back, and I don't remember actually if there was storage inside that back piece, but seems like there should be.
They didn't show that to us, but maybe there seems like there should be. And this is a French company that's working on this. So, anybody else have anything to say about Vimu? Did you see him? No. Okay.
It's definitely going to have e-assist. That thing's big.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. They did talk about it was very heavy, and they talked about. Chopping off about a third of the weight at some point.
They're thinking they'll get the production weight down.
Right. All right. So next up is Ice. And Hansa mentioned earlier, it was really nice to see them back at Spetsy. They had a very big presence there. They had a number of interesting things. They have this full fat that was dedicated to Maria Leierstam. Yeah. When she went to the South Pole, a special edition, right? And they had a couple of special editions. And this is called the Ice Cream, which is commemorative of, I think, their 25 years in business and the fact that they are now employee-owned. So they made a commemorative edition for that. We met their relatively new CEO, Adrian Davies. Very nice fella. I hadn't had a chance to meet him in person. And so they're all on a new, a completely new course with the employee ownership and stuff, and seem to have their act together as they usually do. And then, of course, they talked about their Sprint X and the latest variations on that as well. Who else wants to talk about ICE?
Good tracks, always good display. That's not always. They had a lot more bikes in there when the show started. This is early on, but the quad's always been pretty cool.
The what?
The quad trike.
Quad trike.
There's no.
I'm sorry.
You mean the fat trike?
The fat trike. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Still stuck on the pony.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Oh yeah. Infalby or whatever this is called. So I think it's further here. So last year in the Inventors Lab, they showed this inflatable helmet thingy. And now they have their own little booth here. And yeah.
It's a really cool concept.
I thought so.
It'd have been perfect for us. We could have packed it in our luggage.
Right. We sure didn't have enough room for anything else. So, kind of an interesting little safety device that's lightweight and compresses down. And
they cannot sell it yet because it has not been approved, but it's a good project.
Okay. So that has to be approved by the EU kind of safety
or whatever.
Or bicycling. Yeah, whatever it is.
You passed this Fahrwerk.
Oh yeah, you're talking about that. Help me out. Tell me where we need to go.
On your left, on the blue wall there.
A little further up.
Yeah, behind the. Yeah. Here, by the trailer there, behind the trailer. The trailer.
Let me move up a little bit.
Continue further. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now to the left there. What was interesting there to me, maybe. On to your right side there.
Yeah, this one little piece.
Yes, I've been on that.
Yeah. And then on the right side of the trailer, you have the braking system. And Honza, maybe you can help me, but to me it was new that this is a hydraulic system where you can put the lever in different positions so that you can... when you squish the lever, you can either press enough oil, because they are hydraulic brakes, enough oil for one caliper, or you can put it in another position and press so that you have two calipers. And what was good with this is if you look at the trailer, which is on the right side of this sign, the trailer that is, you see the bottom of the trailer there. There is one lead of oil going through. If you zoom in there, you can see they're going through in the middle, and then it's split up so that it goes to both disc brakes from one lever. And that I think is quite interesting for example, Pony 4 trailers, and also on the Quattrovelo, which has two disc brakes in the back. If one wants to have then a hydraulic brake, which with only one lever. And Ginko, together with this company, they are making a special lever that you can put on the tiller on the velomobiles. So they have a good collaboration there.
Well, I think it is this company the like you can split there are solutions for disc brakes that are two disc brake calipers operated by one lever only. There were solutions from Magura years ago. Now there are either Tektro brakes, or you can have some splitter, and with the right lever, you can get two brakes, brake calipers connected together. But the thing with this company is that they are again targeting the cargo bike world, the world of cargo bikes, which where you need maintenance-free, long-lasting brake pads, you know, bigger margins for between the pads and the discs, and so on and so forth. Disc brakes, which is nowadays an issue because most of the disc brakes in the bicycle business are still designed for, you know, standard bikes. If you want something more with more power, then it should be, you have to choose brakes from the downhill bikes, which are again, you know, not in a daily use for, you know, in winters and so on and so forth. So this is really something that should be a long-lasting, not maintenance-free, but very little maintenance-needed disc brake, which would be nice. Two guys that were racing the Suntrip on the Azup Twin used those, and I'm interested in test riding it sooner or later. It is, interesting product.
Another thing they had, which they didn't recommend to use very often, but they had a quick release for the trailers so that you can you could disconnect the trailer and still have the hydraulic. But you shouldn't use it every day because of the risk of getting bubbles into the system. But anyway, it's there. A heavy-duty hydraulic brake, disc brakes.
Yes.
Nice. All right. Thanks, fellas. Let's move along. You've talked about Roloff a bit, mostly in terms of their coming competition and their reliability and forever. But Roloff, Gusha Mueller, anybody have anything about them that's new?
Go on.
Go ahead, Alva, go.
Now, I each time I meet them, I ask them, well, have you made a switch on and off, good quality breaker for the lights? No. So
breaker.
To cut off the light, turn on and off the light.
A switch,
but they don't have
like a remote one.
Yeah, well, no, doesn't have to be remote, but anyway, just a switch. They have for the low beam and high beam, but they could do the same for turn on and off lights, front and the back and so forth. Because the ones that are in the market, they are very cheap and not very water resistant. It would be good with a very good quality switches. Unfortunately, they don't have it.
Well, the sad thing is that such a important brands have such a poor booth on this fancy show.
That stands out, doesn't it, Hansa? I mean, these are really big names, and there's not much there. I mean, all you have to do is go next door and take a look at what are the possibilities? What could you do? You could build an amazing looking booth like this if you cared enough to have a presence at Spetsy. Whose booth is this? Oh, this is Azub here. I don't know. We can't have Hansa talk too much about this. I love this booth. This is honestly, I mean, so Hansa's been talking about all the booths that were there that were impressive and that showed that they cared enough to come and have a presence. And clearly this is the case with Azub. So, we had a nice chat with Hansa at the booth and didn't have a whole lot of new things to talk about right there. But I mean, look, folks,
I don't know. I thought it was kind of small.
Yeah. So, you know, here is a company that clearly wants to have people riding their trikes and bikes and get out, and they did.
Explain that all these bicycles, they are standing by the side of this test area where people can go riding the bikes.
Thank you, Ava. That's right. That's I should have made that more clear. So this is the test track right here, the indoor part of the test track. And so, yeah, the people were lined up here, and they had lots of folks here to assist. And you hop on a trike, and you go. Indoor track, then to the outdoor and around. And people had a really good opportunity to try out whatever they wanted to. And Aza brought a lot of stuff for them to try. So,
One little comment. I will hear it.
Go ahead.
Unlike with the visitors, you know, that was the trikes most of the time during the daytime were not on the booth, but test riding, you know, so right. You cannot see the visitors now in the Metaport, but you can see our trikes. In the daytime, it was the other way around. So there were right. there were tons of customers, visitors, but almost no trikes because they were all gone.
Right. And you'll see in our video for sure, you'll see even during some of the booth interviews that were outside or what, you'll see lots of bikes and trikes going by. You're going to see a lot of Azubs going by as well because, yes, they were very, very well used. So, all right, shall we move along to the Inventor's Lab? Which is right here in the corner. And, yeah, some interesting stuff. We talked to this gentleman here, and these two trikes he and his wife ride. He had this very clever little, fairing with the, I guess he was more proud of the huge windshield wipers. Yeah, this is the largest windshield wiper I've seen since the Cybertruck. So this is a massive thing. And he just waved the thing back and forth. He was very proud of it. And they, this is their only transportation, he and his wife. That's all that they ride. That's all that they use. They don't have a car. And so let me back out here a little bit. So, yeah. That was that trike with the one steering tube in the middle, Trey. Remember? It wasn't there yet at this time where it was taken in. An unusual, very sturdily built trike. In this section.
But what you didn't section, see there.
Sorry,
there,
go ahead.
Sorry, what sorry, you y'all. Didn't see there when you were filming it is that bicycle with a tiller in the middle,
yes.
when you turned it, it also tilted. You didn't see that.
I didn't. Well, actually, we got a video of it, but the guy was not interested in showing it to us. He was talking to somebody. So we played around with it a little bit, but yeah, we really didn't get a good handle on what it was. Thank you. I didn't know exactly what that was. It was really unusual to have the tiller on the trike like that. So now this section is more of a the Velo Gym, and this is also an exercise trike kind of thing. Cat Trike Expedition, I think, there, and they built a fairing over it. I'm not sure exactly why that was an exercise thing, but this definitely was. This was a really nice young man who, if I get a little closer here, show this side, maybe a little bit. But yeah, it's hand-powered, foot-powered, and you could split the hand power as well and steered with it. So kind of an unusual thing. I got a comment on the video from the Inventor's Lab from a gentleman who test rode that. And he said it was very, it was really interesting, but unnatural to steer the thing. It was not a kind of a natural, intuitive way of steering. So that steering kind of slides like this as you turn. So kind of unusual, but interesting idea. And he was trying to bring it to market. So the Velo Gym there. Anybody else see that? Anything else to say? All right. Nope. And then Clip Clap. Didn't actually talk to the Clip Clap person or people, but there was a nice lady there who had bought a pair, and she insisted on talking to Trey and me, which was really kind of
interesting. She's a huge fan.
She was a huge fan, and so she told us all about it. She sat down in the chair over here, showed us how to put them on and stuff. Very interesting. Very nice lady. So Clip Clap, you can strap on your SPD pedals. So, like, you could use any shoes you want or boots or cold weather gear, and you strap it on over your foot, and it's got SPDs on the bottom is the idea.
Huh.
So, okay.
What he didn't have was the support in the back of the shoe, though.
Correct.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You're right.
So.
All right. And then Future Bike, I think that's a Swiss organization there. They have all kinds of inventive things, but yeah, this year we ran out of time. Anybody talk to them? All right, we'll move along to Grin. Now, this is really interesting. Our video just came. I just posted that one. This is a company from Vancouver, British Columbia. And Justin was there to explain these high-tech new versions of hub motors that they have there. Very interesting chat we had with him. He talked all about their motors and how they cool them with very small amounts of ferrocooling.
Ferrofluid.
Yep, ferroliquid. And they do some really interesting things. They had a couple of scorpions here, a rear wheel here. And this one, they actually put it on both front wheels.
Which I heard was extremely fast. I wanted to get back and ride it, but we didn't get a chance.
We did not get a chance. But really interesting company here that I think you're going to hear a lot more from, Grin. Hansa, I don't know. Do you have any experience with these folks? Have you talked to them? Do you know anything about them?
Well, they are really experienced. And they do, I think, quite some of the racers in the Suntrip use their motors and some other components. So very knowledgeable guys. I'm not sure whether it's still the case, but they were producing a kit, battery kit, basically, that you can take and travel with it by plane, because there is a limit of, you cannot carry the battery as in the checked-in luggage or taking it. You cannot carry, basically, an electric bike. But you can carry on, I don't know whether it's unlimited, but several batteries that are, 100 watt hours. Mm-hmm. So they have a kit where you can assemble the one battery for the electric bike out of several 100 watt hours batteries. And those you can carry in your hand luggage.
Being under the limit.
Being under the limit.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of interesting. But some of the the airlines even didn't let you in with an electric bike, even without the battery. You know, they don't allow anything with an electric motor.
Right. I was going to say, Hans, you mentioned the Suntrip. I don't know about more current versions using their motors, but Justin had a really interesting story because he was in the Suntrip with his girlfriend at the time a number of years ago, he said, and he got the he was on a Terratrike, I guess a Rover tandem or some crazy thing, and they had the motors on, which they said worked just flawlessly the whole time, and the girlfriend at the time ended up being his wife, I guess. So I don't know if there's a relationship story there somewhere or not with those motors, but there you have it. An interesting story nonetheless. Alva, do you have something?
Yeah, I think they had some design with a rowing bicycle where they were sitting back to front. He was sitting back to front and rowing.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Suntrip that like they that took, is that what you mean?
The Suntrip, yeah.
Two things which are interesting to know. You see the red trike there. It has two motors. But don't let that... what I want to say is that you can have only one motor on the same trike, and it will work as well as having two motors. What I mean is it will not just pull onto one side. It will work almost as good as having two motors. So for people to understand that, he used to disconnect one of the motors and they could go test riding with one motor, and then he connected it again and they could go test riding with two motors and they didn't feel any difference. Then another thing is that when I go cycling, I These motors, they have regen, which means that they charge a battery when you brake. But when I go with, for example, a velomobile, I very seldom want to brake unless I'm in Norway or Switzerland. And these kind of motors, they automatically start regenerating when you come up to 60 kilometers per hour, as I understand it. You might correct me if I'm wrong. So if you want to ride 100 kilometers or 126, as I have been doing with the Quattrovelo downhill, you can't do it because at 60 kilometers per hour, it will start braking and regenerating.
And is it by default or is it a software
thing? You must ask someone that knows better, yeah. But I am only guessing now. It could have to do with the heating or whatever. I don't know. But that's a limitations which they have.
Good.
As I understand it. Please don't take me 100%.
You're talking about the batteries. They're modular, so you can't travel with large batteries. So they found out the limit, and then they make like you put four batteries together. But they just announced, I was reading on the website a couple of days ago, that their version that they have now is being discontinued, but they're in process of coming out with the third gen. I think it's the third gen.
Well, I think there were some issues with getting them certified again, or they had discontinued because of legal issues or something like that.
I was trying to find the article, but I can't find it. But
It was a good idea.
They stated in there that they're already working on the next version.
All right. Let's move on to HP Velotechnic. They had, again, if you're talking about
another small booth,
Hans's qualifications for having an impressive booth, this is certainly one. An amazing booth. They had pretty much all of their products there, highlighting the Delta TX, again, their Delta Trike. We talked quite a bit about that. But all the Scorpions and the Geckos and the two wheelers, not to be forgotten. Right. ASIM still has the two wheelers and HP has the two wheelers that have been around for a very long time, and they continue to refine them, and they are still relatively popular. And they also have that the hand powered boom that they can swap out for
hand
the
cycle.
Handlebars, to make it into a hand tricycle, right? So. All those things we talked about. Anything else? Go ahead, Trey, or anybody else.
Well, they really had a huge booth because last time, the place where they not rented but landed the trikes for test riding, was somewhere else.
Right,
now they brought the two tents or even three of the tents in front of their major booth. We had on the ASIP stand, and they kind of made their own square inside, you know, of the hall, which was interesting. And kind of, if you would, you know, they definitely had the biggest booth out there.
Very impressive.
That's all the test tracks right there, and that's the track in front of them.
All right, let's get on with it here. We're getting closer to the end. Here is Zera Bike, the Italian company, the tilting trike. We talked to them last year. The gentleman we talked to there brought his trikes again. I don't think he had a whole lot new to talk about there. Anybody else? Anything with Zera Trike? And then down here, not really, the last couple things, not really directly recumbent related. But we had this Ride Your Bed, RYB company here, that had this really interesting foldable camper set up.
It's like a pop-up camper.
Backside of it. And here we go. Yeah, a nice little camping setup that you could tow with your bike or trike, which we thought was good.
So the thing in the right is the thing in the left, right?
Correct. Okay. So the left is the compact, ready to travel on the right at the campground.
I was not sure about that. But
and then this is folded up,
that,
and then
I mean that's the cool thing. I mean it goes from a pretty small footprint to big enough for someone to lay down.
But the question is then again, why don't you carry just a tent?
Because
that must take a lot of time to
pop it out. My wife won't sleep in a tent anymore, so that's one reason.
And there's your answer.
And she would sleep in that.
Yes.
Okay. Then it makes absolute sense.
All right. I think we need to say no more.
Moving right along.
let's finish off with this very interesting little foldable bike called the Quiggle, which we saw riding around a lot. I didn't talk to these folks, but anybody else have? Did you see this? Anybody else have anything to say?
I talked to someone that test rode it, and they compared it favorably to a Brompton, maybe a little bit quicker steering, but very similar. And
No.
Did you talk to her? No.
No.
He's only Hansi. He's only quoting. Now go ahead. You can
say it.
He is quoting. Okay. No, I don't think it's. You can compare it. The major thing is that the upper part, which you can hardly see on the picture here, it does move left and right separately from the main frame. So it's like you are riding an upright bike and your saddle moves left and right freely.
It swivels?
You know?
It swivels?
Yes.
Wow.
It's crazy. Okay. It's crazy riding.
Is that a feature or is that a bug?
It's a wiggle.
It's a quiggle. I guess that's why they. Yeah, I guess I didn't know.
Wiggles.
That.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
I think it's a. It's a. I. The way they. How they. Well, I don't know. It's definitely not a bug. I think it's a feature, but.
It's a feature.
I have seen it on other show 14 days before the Spezi. I was in Velo Berlin. It was riding there a lot. But some people really had a hard time to ride it, which you don't really see with the Bromptons, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, interesting project. Yeah. I mean, interesting bike, but I wouldn't compare it with the Brompton.
But it does fold into a very small package. And no denying that.
That's true.
I should have got her name so you could write her a letter.
That's right. Hansi would like to talk to her. So, all right. That brings me to the end. So before we wrap up with our overall thoughts about Spezi, any booths that, before I close out the Matterport thing, any booths that we skipped over, anybody wanted to say anything about? If not, I'm going to close this out. And we can go here, Larry, if you want. All right. So, very good, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on that jaunt through Spezi from this year. And I wanted to finish up with talking about some general thoughts about, I know you guys all have them, about the atmosphere, the positives of Spezi, and maybe what things you think could be improved this year. So, personally, I thought it was another step forward for the guys at Wolf & Wolf. They continued to make improvements in the show. They had more booths. People seemed more enthusiastic, a good crowd. That was great. They seemed overwhelmed. I talked to them ahead of time. It seems to get beyond them a bit before the show, but I still think they did a great job. So that's what I will say. And let's go down the line. Trey, tell me about your thoughts about Spezi itself and positives and maybe negatives.
I agree with most of what you said. Well, actually, all of what you said. But it's a monumental task to put on something like this. I mean, it's a huge effort. So you could tell it was rough. But they're better this year than they were last year. There's more refinements made. Things went smoother. Things were set up and all that good stuff. And the traffic flow worked well. The test trike was awesome. And the weather was perfect. You couldn't ask for better weather. So they really got lucky on that one. But I can't think of any negatives, to be honest. I enjoyed it, really enjoyed it.
All right, let's go to Alva, who may be able to come up with some ways to improve. He's always got good ideas. Alva, go ahead.
No, I think it's a fantastic show. I wasn't going to go this year because of economic situation. I haven't sold enough bicycles, but anyway, I had to go because it's so important for us who are out here dealers meeting customers. It's important for us to meet the manufacturers like Honsa and the other people, because otherwise we are alone here. We need to meet the people that we are buying the bicycles from and delivering to customers. That is very, very important for me, at least for me. That's the most important thing. And then I think they have done a very good job. Imagine this is the second year. So in 2 years, they have come this far. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And the atmosphere, when I was on the train going to Spezi on Friday, the day before Spezi opens, there were people coming both with bicycles and coming there for camping for 3 days. And some had a cart and big tents with them. And the atmosphere around the camping, people chatting with each other, sometimes a little bit too late in the night. But okay, it's like it's not just a bicycle show. It's the atmosphere. People meet each other. They gather together. It's completely different to any other fair where you go and everything is very strict and no connection in between the people. This is completely different. It's so, so nice. If I now want to say something that could be better, is the international approach. I think it's if you're from Germany, Switzerland, or you speak German, then there is no issue at all. But if you come from abroad, like we in Sweden, of course, we don't expect to have Swedish signs. But when buying food, for example, it would be nice to have a sign telling what I'm buying, at least in English. So is it potato or is it sausage or that kind of small things, you know? But that's it. The rest was fantastic. It was really good. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't know why you have a problem. We pick out the colors and we know this is like bread and butter. And then I think this was herring and some orange juice. We had no problem whatsoever in Germany with it. So I just thought.
Brötchen.
That's right. Brötchen. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. So no, that's a perfectly legitimate thing to say. I think, and I would say that the guys really would love to make it as international as possible, because there were very few Americans there. I don't know too many more besides our crew that were there, right? So
Canadians.
Who?
Some Canadians.
There were some Canadians, right, which are Americans, to be fair. They're not from the United States, but they are Americans.
There was a war about that, actually.
So there was, but it was way back in 1812, I think. So, Hansa, let's get away from that. Hansa, give us your final thoughts on Spezi and your ideas about improvement, maybe.
I loved it. It was great. It was perfect, same as last year, I would say. There is, I can hardly... you know, think about anything that can be improved. I don't see... It was great also for the manufacturers, like exhibitors. It was smooth, easy to, you know, register to, you know, all the paperwork, which is no longer a paperwork behind it, was smooth for us this year. So really easy. I don't think of any major issues we would see this year. There were some rumors how the show will continue in the future. I have a confirmation from the guys that for the next, did I say 2 years at the dinner? I think 2 years it's going to be in the same hall And then in the future, they have a confirmation from the city council that it's going to be in that one place, in the old kind of abandoned textile factory. The mayor of Lauchringen is really a big fan of the show. He was even volunteering Saturday evening on the counter selling tickets. So very good for him, very good for the organizer, I guess.
Yep. Trey, if you're talking, you're muted. I don't think.
I've got a quick question. Since
Please, go ahead, Larry.
Since a few of you guys are probably the only people in the world that have been both to Spetsy and to CycleCon, maybe I'm out of line asking, but can you compare the two, or is that like a topic for another show altogether?
Well, it is a topic for another show. I guess we would just you can't really compare. As Alva was talking about, the idea of Spetsy is a trade show and a place where people get together, and it's a festival for people riding bikes, cargo bikes, recumbent bikes. CycleCon is more of a trade show. It's also in the middle of a transition and I think they respect what Spetsy does, the guys there do, and would like to see it get more like that. But, you can't really compare them at this point.
Well, it's area specific, so you don't see cargo bikes in the U.S. You do, but not to the scale you do in Europe. So it's specialized with that intent. You know, here's the cargo bikes. Last year, we saw the pedal goes with or the ones with the massive containers on the back, the 6x6 cargo containers meant for like commercial delivery. You're not going to see that in the States. The States is consumer geared more. I mean, completely consumer geared. And then Spetsy is more consumer and
That's true, but the major stuff is still are still recumbents. But in Europe, you have way more velomobile companies. The Inventors Lab is there. It's 6 times bigger or 8 times bigger show. I would say that the CycleCon is more of a festival than the Spetsy show, because you have the rides there, organized rides, and people are spending more time at the CycleCon, like longer period, camping there, living, having a nice time, riding together, talking to each other. That's all fine. But it's CycleCon is simply much, much smaller. And I wish that finally, somebody from Whiz Wheels will visit Spetsy Show to see it and be inspired. Because Charles, before, when it was recumbent CycleCon, never visited Spetsy Show, if I am right. And the Whiz Wheel guys never did as well, and I think it is it's time that they did.
It's time. Yeah. And of course they call me every year after I come back. They want to know, but me telling them is not the same as them going. And exactly. I agree with you, Hans. We need to work on those boys. See what we can do about getting them to go. I agree. Okay. Good question, Larry. Peter, you weren't there or anything. I guess maybe I would just ask you, so now are you going? What's your problem?
Airfare and language.
Okay. Language is not a problem.
Everybody speaks English and you have Google Translate, so that's not it.
Google answer.
Okay,
Google.
Well, there you go then.
And book early.
Right. So we'll see if we can find a flight for you and the Whiz Wheel guys on the same plane. We'll see if
you know, Peter, that'll be fun. Peter, I've got a really large piece of luggage. How good are you at folding?
Well, I fold up pretty good, yeah.
All right, guys, let's call it there. Let me finish off by, Trey, can you pop up those slides? I want to thank my amazing Spetsy crew. There you see them. This is actually a picture from last year, but it's the same crew. And Alva helped us out, and he helped us out again today. I really appreciate it, Alva. And Jim, of course, flying the drone and all. So thanks to those guys, and thanks to the Wolf and Wolf guys. They just work so hard to make this a success. Franz, Gabriel, Florian, thank you very much for all the work you do to make Spetsy very special and successful. So With that, I want to jump to the sponsors of the Laid Back Bach Report for our webcast. I want to thank them very much. We're going to kick it off with TerraCycle. Are you tired of feeling like your bent was made for someone else? TerraCycle's handlebars and stems allow you to customize your ride so you can feel like the superstar you are, even if you ride like a turtle. And Trailside Trikes. If you find yourself in Florida near the Withlacoochee Trail, check out Andrew's shop and amazing crew. And TerraTrike and Greenspeed Trikes. Find your freedom this spring with TerraTrike's Spring Sale. Experience the thrill of touring the open road with unbeatable deals on the TerraTrike GTS, Spider, and their new improved electrifying Boost Kit E+. Hurry! The savings won't last long. Sale ends May 31st, so check out TerraTrike.com for details. And Laid Back Cycles, the top USA dealer for TerraTrike and the premier source for CatTrike, Ice, and Greenspeed. We give you the freedom to ride. And Avenue Trikes. With the gearing you need and the comfort you want, it's time to enjoy riding again. They're in stock, ready to ship, and only $19.95. Dealer inquiries are welcome. And Azub, in addition to titanium suspension, another technological gem brought to you by Azub is an optional folding mechanism. It's not only easy to operate, but works great and looks fantastic. And Recumbent PDX, CatTrike's West Coast Megastore. Schedule your test ride on trikes with pedal assist electric from both Bosch and Befang, Roloff and Schlumpf component groups, and adaptive builds. Experience the joy of CatTrike. And Connecticut Yankee Pedler. We feature multiple brands of trikes, including electric assist models. Test rides in Southern Idaho hospitality are always available at our megastore in Sheraton. All right, guys. So the videos from Spetsy, the individual booth interviews are actually all edited and up on YouTube. They will be posted one a day now, so probably for another week or so before they all get out there. You can see it in a playlist that I put together called Spetsy 2024. And then this week I'm getting to work on the collection video. So I'm going to have all those in alphabetical order in a big video with much, much more in there. All kinds of bonus footage, intros, outtakes, test ride track information and video, all kinds of stuff on there. So we hope you will look for that. And let's see, coming up next show is June 9th. We will have a preview of the World Human Power Championships with our buddy Barney Hall from the British Human Power Club. They are the organization putting on the championships this year, as you see, in August. And so Barney's going to have a lot to say about how you can attend to watch or how you might want to participate and race. It's a great event. I was there in 2018 and just loved it. So you might want to tune in for that. We'll have some other stuff next month as well. So now, how can you support the Laid Back Bach Report? If you liked what you saw today, please like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube, and click that little white eye up there. Take you to the laidbackbachreport.com website, where you can learn a lot more about us and you can even become a Patreon supporter, which we would love you do that for as little as $1 a month. All these folks have become Patreon supporters, and we really appreciate them as well. All right, let's pop the crew up here, guys. Great job today. A lot of ad-libbing as we went, but I thought it went really well. You guys always do a great job providing information to our viewers. I hope they appreciate it as much as I do. So thank you all for joining us today. So thanks to the crew. And most of all, thanks to all of you for watching today and always. We really appreciate that. So until our next webcast, from all of us here at the Laid Back Bach Report, so long, Bent Riders.